Okay, so we're gonna continue from where we left off the past couple of weeks, but I'm also gonna just review it. And really, the reason why I wanted to do this topic was not because of the last two classes, but it's really for the next two classes. So it's really gonna start to get. I think it was exciting beforehand also, but it's gonna get even more exciting. Basically, what we've been dealing with is the concept of Erev Tavshilin. The concept of Erev Tavshilin is that before, when you have a case of where Yontov comes before a Shabbos, so like what we had on Rosh Hashanah, we had 2 days of Rosh Hashanah followed by a Shabbos, or what we're going to have is on a Sukkos, we're going to have it twice on Sukkos, we're going to have the 2 days of Yontov, Sukkos, and then Shabbos. So then one is required to cook something before the Yontov, before Sukkos, or before Rosh Hashanah, in order to allow you to cook from that Yontov onto Shabbos. One is not allowed to cook from Yontov onto Shabbos unless they have performed this Erev Tavshilin, which is basically cooking something before the Yontov, let's say on Wednesday. Yontov is going to be Thursday and Friday in outside of Israel. It's Thursday and Friday, so then one would have to cook something on Wednesday, and by cooking something on Wednesday for the sake of this halacha of Erev Tavshilin, so then one would be allowed to cook from Yontov to Shabbos. That's what the halacha is. And so what we've been dealing with for the past couple of weeks is, why is this so? What are the issues? What's the problem here? So really, a person is allowed to cook from Yontov to Shabbos. There's no problem cooking from Yontov to Shabbos. There's no problem. Except for until we get to what the Gemara says. But really, like Min HaTorah, from a biblical standpoint, one could cook from Yontov to Shabbos. So what are the issues? We presented two different ideas. One's by Rava and one's by Rav Ashi. Rava says that the reason why we have Erev Tavshilin is for the sake of Shabbos. Because we're so busy over the course of Yontov, so we're going to forget about Shabbos. We're going to forget to cook for Shabbos because everyone's being so involved in the Yontov. So therefore, we do this Erev Tavshilin as a reminder that Shabbos is coming. This Erev Tavshilin is, we're setting aside a portion, we're cooking something on Wednesday for Shabbos, to remind us that Shabbos is coming, even though Rosh Hashanah is now, or Sukkos is now, and we're so busy with Rosh Hashanah and Sukkos, and we might forget to cook, so therefore we cook something on Wednesday to remind us, and this cooking is for Shabbos. We're setting aside something for Shabbos to remind us that Shabbos is coming. That's one opinion. One opinion says that the reason why we cook something beforehand is for the sake of Shabbos. Really, it's to honor the Shabbos, so that we don't forget about Shabbos during this three-day Yontov, this three-day period where we have Yontov and then Shabbos. That's one opinion. I want to focus today on the second opinion. And we dealt a little bit with it last week. The second opinion is Rav Ashi, a second opinion in the Gemara. And that opinion says that the reason why we have Erev Tavshilin is not for Shabbos, but it's for Yontov. It's not to honor Shabbos, but it's for Yontov. What does it mean it's for Yontov? If you have a regular case of Yontov, where Yontov is before a weekday, so are you allowed to cook from Yontov to the weekday?
No.
One is not allowed to cook from Yontov to the weekday. Why? Because you're only supposed to focus on Sukkos, or on Pesach, or on Rosh Hashanah. You're not supposed to focus on what's going to happen afterwards. So therefore, one could only cook on Rosh Hashanah for Rosh Hashanah. One could only cook on Sukkos for Sukkos. You're not allowed to cook from Sukkos to another day. The exception to that is when Yontov comes before Shabbos. When Yontov comes before Shabbos, for different reasons that I don't want to get into, one could cook from Yontov to Shabbos. So the halacha is that the reason why we have to make an Erev Tavshilin is to remind us that this is different. Yontov is something which is special, and so therefore you're not allowed to cook from Yontov to another day. What's happening right now is something which is special. It's something different. So therefore you are allowed to cook from Yontov to Shabbos, but we have to realize that this is a unique circumstance. In general, you're not allowed to cook from Yontov to Shabbos, and this is something different. To show that there's something different here, we make an Erev Tavshilin, to show how Yontov is something which is special. It's not focusing on Shabbos and remembering Shabbos, but it's remembering how Yontov is something which is special. And therefore, we do this Erev Tavshilin. And that's what we dealt with for the last 2 weeks.
So in the first rabbi's opinion, the stuff you cook on the Wednesday is to eat on Shabbos.
Yeah, it's really...
In the rabbi's opinion, the stuff you cook on Wednesday is it to eat on...
It's not necessarily to eat on Yontov, but you're not supposed to eat it on Yontov, but it's just acting as a reminder that something's different here. So I'm about to get to address your point right now. So they made this reminder. Let's just focus on the second opinion. That's what we're going to focus on today. They made a reminder to tell us that we should cook something on Wednesday so that we know that we're in a different situation here. You're allowed to cook from Yontiv to Shabbos, but in general, when you have a regular Yontiv, which is followed by a Sunday or a Monday, you're not allowed to cook. So it's just a reminder to say how this is different. So if it's just a reminder, they could have done anything to remind us. Why do we specifically have to cook something? They could have told us to scream out, just remember that this is different. Well, why did they have to specifically create the Erev Tavshilin where we have to cook something? The rabbi could have been part of the announcements on Shul to say, you're allowed to cook today, and this is different than any other Yontiv which comes before a weekday. Why do you specifically have to cook something during the week, on Wednesday? So that's a big question. So we dealt with that a little bit last week, and we gave three answers. I just want to focus on two of the answers today. One answer we gave was by the Rambam. The Rambam says that the reason why we have this Erev Tavshilin is really, it's just as a reminder, and that's it. Really, it is a reminder. They could have had it as just an announcement, but they chose to have something which you cook on Wednesday to act as a reminder, perhaps because it allows you to now cook on Yontiv. So they said, cook during the week to allow you to cook on Yontiv for Shabbos. But it's really just a reminder. It's nothing more than just a reminder. They could have done something else, but they chose this because it's relating to cooking. The result of doing this Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday allows you to cook. So they told you as a reminder to also cook. That's the opinion of the Rambam. It's just acting as a reminder. Yes?
Just a question. What is Erev Tavshilin?
So Erev Tavshilin is that you have to cook something on Wednesday and say that I'm making this as my Erev Tavshilin.
That is the Erev.
That is the Erev Tavshilin. I cook and I bake. I cook, let's say, an egg and I have matzah. I don't actually have to cook it.
Do you have to make any kind of a statement?
Yeah, you have to make a statement. There's a statement, I believe it's in the Siddur. Yeah, it's definitely in the matzah, but it's also in the Siddur, and it says that you make a certain declaration. You should say it in English. If you don't know the Hebrew, there's no reason. The point is to understand what you're saying. So,
yeah. To the Rambam, would you be yotzei if you made an oral reminder without cooking something?
No, because once they instituted that you have to do it this way, so then you would have to do it this way. They made such an
institution.
No, I don't think so. Because they instituted that you have to cook it, so it's just to make an oral reminder wouldn't work. So the Rambam is of the opinion that it's just... You found it?
Yeah, you hear what it says?
Go for it.
It's a special bracha.
That's the bracha, but then you make it, you say something also.
Okay, then it says, through this eruv, we're permitted to bake, cook, insulate, kindle flame, prepare and do anything necessary on the festival for the sake of the Sabbath, for ourselves and for all Jews who live in the city.
There you go. You just declare that this is allowing me to now cook from Yontiv to Shabbos. So I cook something on Wednesday to allow me to cook on Friday. It's only allowed for Friday. Friday is right before Shabbos. You can only cook on Friday for Shabbos. You're not allowed to cook from Thursday for Shabbos. But it allows you to then cook from Friday to Shabbos. So the Rambam is of the opinion that...
Are you not allowed to cook from Thursday?
For Shabbos, no. It's only for Friday.
Kindle a flame.
Yeah, you're allowed to kindle
on Yontiv.
You are allowed to light up a match.
From an existing, you're transferring. Transferring a flame.
It's
yeah.
Kindle, but actually it's transferring.
Yeah, it's really to transfer flame.
Well, on that is kindle for Shabbos.
It's not creating. It would be. Yeah.
You can do.
Yeah.
We light from an existing flame. Yeah. Fine. So the opinion of the Rambam is that we just create this reminder to allow us to cook from Friday to Shabbos to show how this is different. Even though in general I'm not allowed to cook, here I am allowed to cook. The second opinion we had that we'll discuss today is Rashi. Rashi explains that no, it's not just acting as a reminder, it's something more than that. Really, you're not allowed to cook. They instituted that you shouldn't cook even in this scenario where it's Yontiv and then Shabbos. You're not allowed to cook. You're not allowed to cook. The only time that you are allowed to cook is if you're continuing a process. You're not starting a process, but you're completing a process. When did you start that process?
When it was permissible.
When it was permissible. When was it permissible? On Wednesday, before Yontiv. So why do we cook before Yontiv? To show how we're starting the process to cook for Shabbos. Because really, they instituted that you're not allowed to cook from Yontiv to Shabbos. Because we're afraid that you're going to confuse it with Yontiv to the weekday, where you're not allowed to cook.
Is it to show how we're starting, or to actually start?
I think it's to show how we're starting.
Don't you need to actually start?
What do you mean by that?
According to this,
you have to cook. You have to cook something.
The Shabbos is that you're only allowed to cook from Yantiv to Shabbos if you already started.
So correct. So this is starting. On Wednesday,
you have to start. So it's not like showing. It's not a sign that I'm starting. It's actually starting.
Except, I'm not sure what the.
Except, I mean, you used the word showing.
You actually, you do have to cook something, yeah. Okay. And that shows that you're starting it, so that, that allows. You have to start. Fine, you have to start. I'm not.
Now, I wasn't sure if you were like going something, like saying that that was like some sort of sign.
I think it is also, I think it is a, it's also a reminder for us. That's why I'm saying showing. Because in the, ultimately, in the end of the day, it's supposed to be a reminder for us that this is different. The, during on a Yantiv to the weekday, I'm not allowed to perform this Erev Tavshilin where I cook before Yantiv and say, I'm continuing the process. And then allow me to cook on Yantiv for Sunday. That we're not allowed to do. So this is really still doing something which is different to show how this is a unique circumstance. And in general, I'm not allowed to cook from Yantiv to Tuesday or Wednesday. But and this is something different. So that's why I use the language to show. Because in the end, it's really a reminder. Yeah.
But it seems to me that you wouldn't... Okay, in the idea of showing, the reminder part, I accept, but... The other thing, that if it's in order, that you should remember that, like, if you compare it, I don't see how you solve any of the problem with thinking that you could, if you cooked, let's say you were to cook on Yom Tov towards the Shabbos, and then some, we said there's a problem because somebody might think, oh, then
you cook from Yom Tov to the weekday.
I don't have a problem. But then what's the difference if you do this thing where you're saying you can continue, you can't start? You might have somebody that says, oh, I can do that to a chol if I start before as well. Like what?
Yeah. So I hear the question. It's a good question. He's asking. So maybe I'll also get confused and think that if I start preparing it on a regular case where I have Yanta followed by a random Tuesday, so maybe if I start preparing it from beforehand, which really I don't know if that would work, and that it would be Shabbos. Anyway, random Wednesday. So then if I start preparing it beforehand, so then maybe I'll confuse and think I could do that also. So it's true. They are assuming that a person will realize that maybe this is different. The fact that I have to do something to start preparing, that's only because it's Shabbos. So they're assuming that a person will realize that. But it is a good question. A person's going to realize, if I'm just finishing the process, that's allowed. I started cooking on Wednesday for Shabbos, and so therefore I'm allowed to cook also on Friday for Shabbos, because I'm just allowed to finish the process. But to start the process to begin with, to start cooking on Friday without preparing anything from beforehand, that's not allowed. Why? Because we want to show how it's really not allowed. If it was for the regular weekday, it would also not be allowed. Yeah.
So let's say you boil an egg on Wednesday because you're going to make an egg salad or something for Shabbat. But you also, on Friday, before Shabbat, you cook other things, right?
That's allowed.
That's
what the whole point is. The point is that you cook this egg, you make this declaration. Yeah. That this is what's allowing me to now cook from Friday to Shabbos, and that's allowed because I'm completing the process.
Part of the meal.
Right. So according to Rashi, now I want to focus on these two opinions. According to Rashi, the reason why I make the Erev Tavshilin is so that I continue the process that I started on Wednesday. On Wednesday, I started the cooking process, and I'm finishing it on Friday, and that's allowed. To start something from scratch on Friday is not allowed. But to continue the process... that is allowed, and that's what the whole point of the Erev Tavshilin is, to show how I'm allowed to continue the process. According to the Rambam, it's a lot simpler. It's just saying, I'm creating a reminder. I could have done a lot of different things to show that there's a reminder. Here, I created the reminder. They instituted that you have this reminder. How? It's through cooking, because it allows me to cook, so they created this concept of an Erev Tavshilin as a reminder through just cooking something on Wednesday. It's a lot simpler. Okay, yeah.
So normally you can cook on a Friday, for Shabbos for the next day, prepare.
What do you mean so normally?
Normally you can cook, you can prepare for the next day.
On Yantiv or?
Without Yantiv.
From Friday to Shabbos? Yeah, that's for sure, it's allowed, yeah.
Right. But with a Yantiv, you have to, if you have like a 2 day or a 1 day even, you have to make the declaration, continue the cooking process before the day, and then on the day.
On Friday, you can continue it on Friday and to prepare for Shabbos. Yeah, according to Rashi, it's viewed as one long cooking process. According to the Rambam, it's not one long cooking process. It's just something which shows us that something here is different.
Can you give us a nice kind of garden variety Erev Tavshilin that your wife would do on the Wednesday?
Like what would we do?
What would you do? Yeah, what's a good?
We would boil an egg.
Oh, you did it.
You would take a piece of matzah,
right.
Symbolically raise it up. I don't think you have to do that. But then you just make the declaration. That's it.
And then you make a point of eating that egg.
No, you shouldn't. You have to eat it. No.
Wait.
You don't eat the egg. You wait till Shabbos.
I was going to say, make a point of eating the egg on Shabbos.
Yeah, you should eat it. Yeah. If you eat it before Shabbos, you're in trouble. Which we're about to get to right now. We're going to get to that point right now.
Let's get in trouble.
Okay. So everything we just said, we just covered in the first two pages. We only have two pages. I think this is the first time that we finished the first two pages. Okay. So turning the page here. We're on the second page. There should be four pages. The fifth page doesn't have anything on it. It's just there to show us how there's so much more out there that we're not finishing it. So. Okay, so if you go to source four on page two is the Ramah. The Ramah is the Ashkenazi posek of the Shulchan Aruch, which is written by Rav Yosef Cairo. The Ramah commented on it, and that's the Ashkenazim follow what he says. So the Ramah says here, what is the point of the Erev? Perush, the English is right below it. Inin ha'erev hu, sheyevashel v'yofem yomtev l'shabbos, imashabishel v'ofar kvar me'erev yomtev l'shem Shabbos. The point of the Erev is that you can now cook on Friday for Shabbos with that which you already cooked from before Yontiv, which was for Shabbos. So basically, you're continuing the process. You're not starting the process, you're merely completing the process. So the Ramah here, in terms of how we paskin, he seems to take the opinion of Rashi. We presented two different opinions here, whether the purpose of the Erev Tashilin is just a reminder to show how this is different, or is this really just a continuation of the process? The Ramah seems to paskin, he holds like Rashi, like that second opinion, which says that we're supposed to view it as a continuation. It's of the preparations for Shabbos. I started the process on Wednesday, and I complete it on Friday for Shabbos. And that's the whole purpose of this, of the Erev Tavshilin.
But practically, what would he say? He's saying that you should start cooking on Wednesday.
Minimal cooking. You don't have to do... You start on Wednesday and then you continue it on Friday. You don't cook on Thursday, but you finish it on Friday.
It's not a literal continuation.
It's not. It's like
keeping the pot boiled.
It's not of that item either. It's you started. You cooked an egg, so now you have your wonderful egg for Shalosh Shudas. And so then everything else, what you need for Friday night or for Shabbos day.
Why can't you cook on Thursday?
Why can't you?
You cook on Thursday for Thursday.
You cook on Thursday.
Thursday for Friday, for Shabbat. You can't do it.
That we do not allow you to do. It's for the right before Shabbos. So that's part of a bigger.
The cooking process. You started already.
So I haven't analyzed that fully. So I haven't researched that, but I assume it's because we want to limit the amount of cooking that you're doing on Yontev. Again, you're not supposed to cook from Yontev to another day. This is an exception. So also from to cook from Thursday to Friday is also you're only allowed to do for technical reasons, but which I don't want to get into right now. But so I assume that the purpose is that let's cook it on Friday, which is gonna be the most fresh. It's gonna be the last day right before Shabbos. But there might be other reasons also. But it's a good question. Yeah.
In the case of a two-day yontov, where the second day is Shabbos, according to Rava, you would still need an Erev Tavshilin, but according to Rashi, would you?
Sure. Why not? Because because we still, if yontov would be any other time where it's prior to a weekday, we would get confused.
From yontov to after yontov.
We're going from yontov to Shabbos. It's the same thing.
But it's still yontov anyway.
What's still yontov?
One day yontov.
You're saying if the first day was Friday?
If the first day of Yontov was Friday, and the second day was Shabbos. Oh.
Well, you still...
According to Rav Ashi, would we need an Erev Tavshilin? Why?
Shabbos is still holier than the...
But you're allowed to cook on Yontov for Yontov.
No, you're not allowed to cook for the next day. You're only allowed to cook for the next day for other technical reasons, which I don't want to get into right now. You're not allowed to cook. You're allowed to cook only because you might have guests that come. That's the reason why you're allowed to cook.
Okay. But that day.
You're
allowed to cook.
So no, but you're not. You're really not allowed to. You're really not allowed to.
Meaning, the halacha, in the end of the day, is that you are, so it's not that you will come to violate a halacha, because if you cook, you're not going to be in violation of a halacha. The fact that you're allowed to cook from one day of the Yom Tov to the other might be based on a heter that's not part of the, like, the etzem inyan of cooking on Yom Tov, but the fact is, there is no situation where you will come to make a heter for yourself to do something aser.
Yes.
I was just trying to think back. No, I haven't been living that long, but a little longer than most people here. I can't remember the calendar falling out so that you have a 2-day.
Which goes into Shabbos.
Which starts Friday?
Pesach.
No, which it starts Friday?
Rosh Hashanah can't.
Rosh Hashanah can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Pesach can't?
I think Pesach can.
Oh.
Okay. Let me think about that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It involves other issues, so I don't want to get into it right now. Okay, so now we have these two opinions. Either the point of Erev Tavshilin is to act as a reminder, it's just acting as a reminder, or it's viewed as really just a continue. It allows you to continue a process. It's the beginning of the cooking process for Shabbos. Those are the two opinions as to what you accomplish by the Erev Tavshilin. And the way we paskin is really the second way. The way we really hold in the end day is that it's really viewed as like a continuation of the process, like that second way. So now I want to get back into the Gemara. I want to analyze, if we have time, two different Gemaras. The first Gemara I want to analyze deals with what the minimum size is of the Erev Tavshilin. How much has to be cooked? How much do you actually have to cook? So if you look at the bottom of page 2, the Gemara is quoted on the bottom, and the English is on the next page on page 3. So I'm going to read it in Hebrew. Amar Rabbi Abba, Eruvei Tavshilin Tzrichin Kezayis. The amount that you need to cook for the Erev Tavshilin, how much do you have to cook, is an olive's worth. Which for many halachos, that's the minimal amount, which is viewed as a significant amount to in terms of eating. That an olive's worth is defined as a significant amount with regards to certain halachos. So you have to cook something which is viewed as the minimal amount which is viewed as significant. For the Erev Tavshilin. That's how much you have to cook. So then the Gemara asks, Ibayiluhu. The Gemara has the following question. Kizayis echad lekulon, odilma kizayis lekol echad ve'echad. The Gemara asks, I'm allowed to make an Erev Tavshilin, and this is the rabbi does this also, I'm allowed to make it for the entire community. So that's the halacha. I'm allowed to make it for the entire community. I can make mine in my kitchen for you. So the question is, do I need to have an olive's worth for me, and I just have one olive's worth for the entire community, and that would suffice? Or do I need to have, for each person that I'm going to do it for, does it have to be a separate amount, a separate kezias, a separate olive's worth? Is it only olive's worth for me, or could it be an olive's worth, if I'm doing it for five people, it has to be five times that amount, that olive's worth amount? So that's the question. So let's analyze this question. If you did it for the whole community. Yeah, it'd be a ton. So what would you think? Before we get into the answer, what would you think? Do you think I would have to cook that minimal size that I have to cook, which suffices? If I'm doing it for five people, could I just do one amount? Or do I have to make five of those?
If you're just starting the process, if we go with that, then like I got around to one person and I'll do the rest on Friday.
Okay.
But if it's just a signal, then it also works just for one for many. But if it's actually the starting of a process, one would think that it has to be more than just symbolic.
It would have to be for each individual.
Right. Okay. If that's how we paskin with the Ramah, right?
Well, we're in the Gemara now, so we're pre the Ramah. So I apologize for the order. You can't do everything in historical order, but
has some intention, and this could be its intention.
That this should be the beginning. This egg will work for everybody.
Yeah, Gemara. No, well, the Gemara might.
We'll chop up this egg for everybody.
Has some intention that it's either according to Rashi, according to, like, they didn't say according to Rashi, but Rashi's trying to divine the intention of the Gemara.
I mean, they both have to fit within the Gemara. Both opinions. So in the question, I'm trying to analyze the question first.
If one small olives. The highest size would suffice for all, and one person could make the blessing before the Eruv for everyone, so why would we need it in the individual?
So why do we need it for each individual?
It wouldn't make sense that everyone had to make their own.
Okay, so that
not really an answer, but it's kind of like.
Well, that's sort of like.
So it's better. It is better for each individual person to do it, and you shouldn't rely on somebody else doing it for you. In fact, the Gemara says that if you do rely on somebody else for you, it works, but it only works for that one time. You can't do it another time. Really, you're supposed to do your own. Each person's supposed to do their individual cooking.
Okay. Meaning, if one person has the entire community in mind, one chag, then the next one, that same person can't have the same community in mind.
No, if one person receives it,
from the person that made it.
So then you shouldn't just rely on the rabbi does it. So you shouldn't rely on the rabbi, like Rabbi Rosenblatt. He has everybody in mind when he does his.
Right.
I think Rabbi Lichtman also does.
One holiday could be one rabbi, and then the next holiday could be another one.
Yeah. You shouldn't rely on that.
I think it has to be the. Rabbi Rosenblatt, he's the rabbi of the community.
It doesn't have to be him. Anybody can do it. It doesn't have to be him.
The declaration.
It just happens to be he does it.
Every person who makes an Erev Tav Shilin makes
an Erev Tav Shilin. Covers everybody.
Yeah, everyone does it for the whole community. Yeah.
So if one person does it for the community, and you happen to forget.
So you're still good. You're good. You're good. Yeah, you're okay.
Right.
But it only works once.
I even know people who forgot to do it this past time, and they relied on the rabbi.
But you said that they can't benefit from it in the next hug.
You shouldn't have the mindset that I'm not going to do it and I'm just going to rely on the rabbi. Your mindset can't be, I'm not doing it, I'm going to rely on the rabbi. That's what the mindset is.
Each time it comes up, you should have the intention of doing it and try to do it.
And try to do it, yeah, no. You should always try to do it. Okay, just going back to the question of the Gemara. So does it have to be, if I'm doing it for five people, does it have to be just one kezias, one olives worth? Because I'm the one doing it, I'm one individual who's doing it, or does it have to be for each person that I'm doing it for? I'm doing it for five people, does it have to be for each person? So if it's just acting as a reminder, like the Rambam, like that first opinion, so then it wouldn't depend on the number of people I'm doing it for. That's acting as a reminder. So then as long as I did some amount, it's acting as a reminder for everybody. I don't have to have more. But if it's viewed as beginning a process, I think it's an open question. If it's the beginning of a process, so I hear both sides. If it's the beginning of the process, so then I could say, oh, either it's the beginning of the process for everybody, so I could just do one olive's worth, and that will count as the beginning of the process for everybody. Or maybe I need each individual person to have their own shear, their own size, so that for each individual, it's viewed as the beginning of the process. So I hear that as an open question. So what is the Gemara answer? So let's get to the Gemara's answer. Tashma, so just based on our analysis, if the Gemara were to answer that you need five separate ones, if it would say that you need five separate ones, so then that would show that it's not just purely a reminder, right? It would show that it's really about starting a process. If the Gemara answer is that, no, I just need one, just one works for everybody, one minimal size works for everybody, so then that works according to both opinions. So it doesn't prove either way. Mm-hmm. But if the Gemara would have told us in the answer that it would have to be that you would have to make five individual ones for the amount of people that I'm giving it for, so then I think that would prove one way or the other. So unfortunately, the Gemara gives an answer which does not prove one way or the other. The Gemara answers, Tashma, the Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Rav. Rabbi Abba says in the name of Rav, this is in the English on the next page, Eruvei Tavshilin Tzrichin Kezayis Bein Le'echad Bein Le'meya. All you need is just that minimal amount, and that works whether you do it for one person or whether you do it for 100 people. All you need is that minimal amount. So that could either be because it's just acting as a reminder, and just having one of those acts as a reminder for the entire community, or it's viewed as the beginning of the cooking process, and that beginning of the cooking process could happen just through one small amount. That small amount could work for everybody.
So does that have that amount, that small amount, have to be distributed among the whole...
No, it doesn't have to be distributed amongst the whole community. It's just this is showing how this is the beginning of the cooking process for the whole community. I might be the only one that eats it, but it works for the entire community.
And what about the intention? When you're doing it, you have an intention.
You need to have
for specific people or just.
No, you have to have in mind. We'll get to that. That's the next. If we have time, we'll get to it in the next part. But yeah, you would have to have in mind who you want it for. You would have to have that in mind. Okay, so now let's get to the next part of the Gemara. Tnan. The Mishnah said, Achlu osha avad. What happens if you made that egg, and then before Friday comes, either Wednesday afternoon or on Thursday, you lost it. You lost the egg. Or your son came and he consumed it. He ate it. Uh-oh. Right? So what happens if it gets lost? This is a precious egg that we're dealing with here.
Been there, done that.
What?
What about the chicken?
If the chicken has it. Lo yivashi olav b'tchila. You're not allowed to cook. If you lost the egg, if you lost whatever you cooked, so then you, and or someone ate it, so then you are not allowed to cook from Friday until Shabbos. If it's not around, if it doesn't exist on Friday,
you gotta guard it.
You have to guard it, yeah. So then if it doesn't exist on Friday, so then you're not allowed to cook it.
If it doesn't exist on Friday or if it doesn't exist on Shabbos?
Friday. Friday. At the time that you cook it. At the time that you're cooking it on Friday.
So if I cook on Friday and then eat it.
On Friday? That's fine. After you cook it.
Doesn't that be the purpose of starting your cooking?
It's gone. Well,
yeah, it's gone. It's true, but you already finished cooking. You cook at the time that you cooked.
You're not held retroactive.
Yeah.
You shouldn't eat it. Though.
But it's wrong.
You shouldn't. It's better to eat it. It's better to eat it on Shabbos. Better to eat it on Shabbos.
If you lose it, can you not inquire in the community to make sure somebody else has done it?
Yeah, for sure. No, that you can for sure do. But let's say the rabbi also forgot. Let's say it's the rabbi who forgot. Not this community. Let's say the rabbi forgot. So nobody else did it for him, or they didn't have these declarations. So nobody declared it for the entire community. So you're relying on yourself, right. And you lost it. So you're not allowed to then go ahead and cook it on Friday. So let's just analyze this. So if it's viewed as, so why is this true? If you lost it, why should losing it make a difference?
Well,
if it's just acting as a reminder,
serve that purpose.
So then the reminder has to exist when? At the time that I'm cooking on Friday. If it's acting as a reminder, so I need that reminder to exist when I'm cooking on Friday. But I have a question. But if it's acting as just continuing the process, so then why does it have to exist on Friday? I started the process on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It got lost. It wasn't my fault. It got lost. I was going to use it for Shabbos. I cooked it on Wednesday for Shabbos. I started the process on Wednesday. And it got lost. So why can't I cook on Friday? The fact that it's not around, who cares? Let me still cook on Friday. Why can't I cook on Friday?
You're starting the process again. You can't start the process on Friday.
No, but you did start
it. You did start the process. You started the process, but it was just lost.
Now you're starting it again.
Because you made the declaration on that item, and that item doesn't exist. So your declaration is nullified.
But the point is that, in my mind, this is not starting a process. This is finishing a process. I started it, and it just got lost.
Well, that's the point. You can't finish the process.
Because it's lost.
Why is the halacha such that you can't finish the process?
You need the item to finish it.
So either you say like what you're saying, that it's not viewed as finishing a process if that cooked item is no longer around. If that cooked item is no longer around, maybe you can't view it as a finishing of the process if it's already lost.
But
perhaps you could say that.
You don't actually use that egg in your cooking. It's not actually necessary to continuing the process.
No, but it's not. But it's not like you have anything around for Shabbos right now. Comes Friday and you lost it. There's nothing that exists right now.
But let's say that you're making
to view this as finishing.
You're making the egg salad and you can use multiple eggs, but you only cooked one of them on Wednesday. That one's now gone, but you cook more and you use those ones in the salad. The placeholder is a physical thing, but the reminder's still there that you're going to continue the salad. So you continue to make the egg salad. You don't have to cook another egg.
Is it viewed?
One reminder is not there, but that's a physical placeholder. You remember
but,
that it's that.
But
that,
the reminder started, is right? Associated with this declaration that you're making, that you're starting an error.
You only started the process. You didn't finish it on Wednesday when you started cooking it. So therefore, if the salad called for three eggs and you cooked one of them that disappeared, you needed two more eggs, but you hadn't started cooking them yet, could you not continue the process by cooking
them? First of all, it's not about like specifically using this as part of something else. This is just saying that this is the beginning of the process. I don't have to cook any more eggs. I could cook something else.
I would have on my answer though is, let's say that you started cooking, you made your egg, then you cooked something else, then you lost the egg. Can you continue cooking? Because you've now got, like, you're still in the middle of the process, but you're not.
That's a great question. So he's asking, so let's say we have a case where you cooked the egg, You started the process. You cooked something else Friday morning at 10 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, you lost the egg. But you still have that which you cooked on Friday.
Sure.
So maybe the process is continuing.
Sure.
So maybe the process is continuing, so therefore I should be able to continue to cook.
Okay.
Right.
That should be okay. Anybody disagree?
Well,
Lutman, do you disagree?
I disagree.
Sure.
Say yes.
You do. No, in theory, you would need the egg that you started the process with to continue to exist.
Why need the egg?
Because from the way this all sounds, since the egg is not something which actually needs to be involved in the cooking on Friday, it has some other value.
What's that other value?
Meaning the value of starting your cooking is not actually based on what you're going to cook. It's an entirely different concept. This egg represents the starting of cooking, and that's something that's specific to this, and it can't be transferred. Because if all the egg was is the starting of cooking in the sense that it's the first thing that you cook, you would need to incorporate that into your Friday cooking, but you don't. So clearly the egg is unique.
I mean, I could make...
You're saying it's unique because it defines the starting as being from before Yontif?
Right.
Okay, so that's a great point. So the point is that I still have to start it, even though let's say I were to lose the our case is you made the egg on Wednesday, you cooked something at 10 o'clock on Friday morning, you lost the egg at 1 o'clock, and you want to cook something at 3 o'clock, right? We got that. You made the egg Wednesday, you cooked something else Friday morning, you lost the egg early Friday afternoon, and you want to cook something later in the day on Friday afternoon. So maybe it should be viewed as one continuous cooking. So ultimately, that cooking has to go back to from before Yontif. For it to be viewed as a continuous, it might be viewed as a continuation of your cooking, but once you lost the egg, it's a continuation of your cooking from when? From Friday afternoon. That can't be the start. From Friday morning, sorry. That can't be the start. The starting point of the whole process has to happen from before Yontif. The whole halacha is that Friday has to be the finishing, not the starting. If you lost your egg in the middle of the process, so then we view it as though you started the cooking on Friday morning, not from before Yontif.
So you have to keep that.
So you have to keep that egg in order to view it as a continuation of the process.
Has to be still there.
It has to be ideally, or at least until you cook.
So, until you cook.
Meaning once you cooked, so then you already cooked. If you lost it, you already cooked. So, it was at the time that you cooked, it was permissible for you to cook because you had the egg around.
So on Friday, you've got the egg, you start cooking other things, and then the egg gets lost, that's okay.
It is okay because at the time that you were cooking, the egg... time that you were cooking, it was viewed as a continuation...
But it might be problematic, as you pointed out, to initiate cooking later on that Friday.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to cook later on.
That's Isn't correct. That more consistent with the more symbolic...
Yeah.
Understanding rather than the continuation of cooking.
So this is the point that I wanted to get to. Even according to the second opinion that says that it's viewed as a continuation of the process, you can't forget that it is ultimately a reminder. Hmm. Ultimately, this is a reminder to tell you that this situation is different. In this situation, I'm allowed to finish a process. But in the case where you have Yontif followed by a Thursday, I'm not even allowed to finish the process. From Yontif to Shabbos, I can't start it, but I can finish it. On a regular case where it's Yontif and then Thursday, so that I'm not even allowed to finish. I'm not allowed to do anything for Yontif to Shabbos. So even according to the second opinion that says that it's viewed as a process, you can't forget that it's also acting as a reminder. So if it's also acting as a reminder, so then that egg or whatever you cook on Wednesday still has to exist at the time that you're cooking it. Because that reminder has to exist when you're cooking it. At the time that you're cooking, which would not be permissible if it's your classical case of Yontif to the weekday, over here it is permissible, but I need that egg still to be around in order to allow me to cook, because it's also acting as a reminder. It's, according to the second opinion, it's acting as a reminder, but the way it's acting as a reminder is through viewing it as a continuation of the cooking from Wednesday. But in the end of the day, it's also a reminder. So that's something that we can't forget. Even according to the second opinion, it's also acting as a reminder, which is why it has to remain there throughout Friday, while you're cooking. While you're cooking on Friday, it still has to exist. So according to the first opinion, it's purely a reminder, so it makes sense why it has to exist on Friday. According to the second opinion, it's about continuing the cooking process that you started on Wednesday, But it's also acting as a reminder to tell you that this is a unique situation. I'm allowed to cook from Yontiv to Shabbos. I'm not allowed to cook from Yontiv to the weekday. So it's still acting as a reminder, so that's why it has to exist. That's the first line of the Gemara. Just to show you, we're analyzing one line here at a time. Every line takes about 20, 30 minutes. The Gemara is not something which you can just run through. You have to analyze each line, each word has to be analyzed. Yeah, you had a question?
Yeah, I did. So I like this distilled as like a Eruv Tashilin for Dummies, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Because if I go home and ask, I've never had an Eruv Tashilin in my house that I'm aware of. And if I go home and ask my wife to do it from now on, and just check it out and find out how to do it, I'm not going to meet with my success. So I'm going to ask my wife on Wednesday to hard boil an egg and put that away.
Well, you also have to make the declaration.
You're allowed to boil the egg yourself. It doesn't have to be away. Yeah, boil the egg, make the declaration, and then put that egg away and eat it on Shabbos. Is that the ideal world, and that covers
yeah,
the whole?
Yeah, you're good.
Problem.
You're good. Yeah. You should also have something. You have something which is cooked and something which is baked. So you can take a matzah. You don't have to bake it, as long as you have a piece of matzah.
And Rabbi, you don't really have to cook.
You don't have to cook it either.
I mean, as long as you have it cooked something and a baked something, and you make the bracha and the declaration on the Wednesday.
You don't have to cook the egg.
You don't have to cook it.
You can acquire a cooked egg or acquire
exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Classically.
Can it even be the food that you cooked for Yantiv?
Well, then you can eat it on Yantiv.
But if you leave some over.
I don't know. I feel like that's a risky move.
What's your question? Sorry.
That's any food that you're cooking for Yantiv. So you're making chicken for Yantiv.
A, that's a risky move. B, that defeats, I think, the whole purpose of what this is for.
As long as you make the declaration. So that's the...
No, but you're viewing this for Yantiv. The whole idea behind it is that I'm saving this as part of the beginning of my process for my preparations for Shabbos. He's asking, I'm making chicken on Wednesday for Wednesday night for Yantiv. I have this delicious chicken, but nobody ever finishes it. I made a lot. So why can't I make my declaration on the chicken? And I'm going to assume that one piece is left over.
Sure, all the way until Shabbos.
But then assume, make the point of taking it and putting it in the fridge.
So that's fine. No, that's perfectly fine. Yeah, that's fine. Of course you can do that. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. So going back, next stage in the Gemara. Let's analyze the next line in the Gemara. We're still on the bottom of page 2 here, and in English it's the last line on the top of page 3. Bishul is to cook. Is cook. Tavshilin means a cook. Erev is... it's complicated what it means. But let's say it means
permission,
something.
Permission to cook.
No, it's a reminder. The Rambam says Erev means a reminder to cook. Shar mimenu kol shehu. So I cooked my item on Wednesday. And when it wasn't just the kezias, it wasn't an Ellsworth. I cooked a whole platter, a whole chicken. And then shir mimenu kol shehu. Somech alav l'shabbos. But from that amount that I cooked, slowly it was either consumed or it was lost. And only a little bit was left, so then I'm fine. I'm on the bottom of page 2, and it's in English, the top of page 3. My kol shehu, what has to be left over? From the large amount that I made, what has to be left over? Lav af agav delaki kizayis, doesn't kol shehu, a small amount, mean even less than an olive's worth? Meaning I started off with a whole big platter. Slowly but surely, people started eating from it. Comes Friday morning, and even a small, less than a kezias, less than an olive's worth is left over. Isn't that what it means when we say kol shehu, a small amount? The Gemara answers, lo, d'isbe kezias. In the end of the day, if you make a huge dish for the Erev Tavshilin, more than an olive's worth, and then slowly it disappears, however way it disappears, I still have to be left over with the kezias comes Friday morning when I want to cook, or Friday afternoon. I still have to be left over with that olive's worth. That minimal amount, I still have to have that remaining. But it's allowed to diminish. It's allowed to go down. So now let's go back to our two opinions. We had two different opinions. Either it's acting as a reminder. The first opinion said that the point of the Erev Tavshilin is to act as a reminder. And the second opinion says that it's part of a continuation of the cooking process. Right? Those were the two opinions as to what Erev Tav Shilin accomplishes. Either it's a reminder to say how this is different, from Yom Tov to Shabbos is different, or it's a continuation of the cooking process. So in this scenario, we cook something on Wednesday, a large dish, and then slowly it started to diminish. But it didn't get completely lost. It wasn't completely lost. We're still left with that minimal amount that you need, that kezayis, that olive's worth. So does that make sense according to both opinions? Could one argue it? Could one argue this point? Can anybody make an argument and say that maybe this wouldn't work? Maybe this wouldn't work. Would anybody be able to make such an argument that maybe this wouldn't work?
Are you assuming you made the declaration?
You made the declaration on Wednesday, and you cooked the whole chicken.
So, of course, it does work then.
You think that it's obvious that it works?
Yeah.
Can anybody argue that point?
Back when we were wondering whether you needed several zeitun for several people.
Yeah.
In the case where it's a preparation, you might say this doesn't work. But the Gemara has already resolved against that.
Yeah, the Gemara resolved that.
Yeah, the Gemara already resolved that.
So you think that it does work? So perhaps you could argue as follows. Perhaps you could argue that if the whole purpose is just to act as a reminder, so then maybe if it goes down in its size, so then it's no longer acting as a reminder. Maybe if the item changes in some way, I declare this whole chicken to be my reminder. This will be my reminder to cook from Friday to Shabbos. If I'm left with a different amount than what I started with, then perhaps I no longer have that reminder. The reminder doesn't exist. If I'm left, I made a whole chicken and I'm left with just the leftovers. So where was my reminder? The reminder that I made on Wednesday is not the same item that I have come Friday.
But you still have an olive's worth.
Okay, so it's true, you still have an olive's worth, but in the end of the day, it's a different item. I could have said, I agree, in the end of the day, we say as long as you have that olive's worth, so then you're good. But I could have made the argument to say that since it changed, so then I no longer have the reminder. Yes. The reminder doesn't exist anymore. So, I could have made such an argument. That's what the Gemara. In the end, the Gemara says, as long as you have an olive's worth, so then you're fine. I'm a heretic. I want to question the Gemara.
So Ben had a question earlier, or he had a suggestion earlier that you like take the egg and you make it into egg salad.
Yeah.
Like that would seem to pose the same problem. Like I changed, like it was a whole boiled egg, and now it's like.
So you could argue whether that's called change or not. So I could have said that as long as the item changes, so then I no longer have the reminder because my reminder was supposed to be for that item, this big chicken.
That's if you learn like the Rambam. If you learn like Rashi, the reminder is just that I have to start cooking today for Shabbos, so I started cooking already.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a great point.
What if you make a declaration on a liquid and you freeze it, and you pull it out on Shabbos a few days later, and it transformed its molecular structure?
As a liquid? Yeah, I don't think you could do it on a liquid. Okay. I feel like you can't do it on a liquid. It probably depends on what type of liquid.
But with your chicken question, if you just make the declaration on a kezias of that whole chicken at the time.
No, then that's fine. Then that's fine. But the Gemara's case is where you made the declaration on the whole chicken, and then you were left with a small amount. So Rabbi Lichtman has a great point here. He says my questioning of the Gemara, or what the Gemara is really coming to add to say why I'm wrong, that only fits if you view this as a reminder. If it's viewed as a reminder, so then you could question, well, if it goes down in size, so then maybe it's not the same item, maybe it is the same item, you could argue that. But if the whole purpose is like the second opinion, which says that it's just a continuation of the process, so then who cares how much is left over? As long as I have an olive's worth which is left over, so then I've continued the process, which is a very good point. So I want to say, according to the first opinion, the point of the Gemara is to add, don't say what I'm saying. It's not true. Even if it changes, in the end of the day, it's still the same item. Don't view this as... It's still a reminder, at least. Even if it's a different, slightly different item, it's still going to act as a reminder. Because ultimately, it was a part of that bigger platter. So since it was part of that bigger platter, the Gemara tells us that it'll work. And that's what the Gemara is coming to add. according to that first opinion, that it's just to act as a reminder. According to the second opinion, which says that it's about continuing the cooking process, so then what's the Gemara adding? What's the Gemara adding by this? As long as I have some amount left, so then it's continuing the process. So what exactly is the Gemara adding? The Gemara's not adding. It doesn't seem like the Gemara is adding anything. So if you go to the next page, or page 3. So if you go to source 6, just to show this is actually how we paskin. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this, and this is how it has to remain a kezayis. Source 6 says shir tav shel zeh kezayis, the amount that has to be is an olive's worth. Bein le'echad, bein la'lafim, whether you make it for yourself or whether you make it for 1,000 people. Bein b'tchilaso, bein b'sofo. And it has to be an olive's worth both in the beginning of the process and at the end of the process. And in source 7, the Mishnah Berurah tells us, what is it coming to teach us to tell us that it has to be a kezayis at the end of the process? It has to be an olive's worth at the end of the process. So before we read the Mishnah Berurah, let's try to figure it out. We said for the Rambam, that the purpose of the case of where it was a kezayis on Wednesday, or it was more than a kezayis on Wednesday, and it went down to a kezayis, is that maybe it's no longer a reminder because it changed. But according to the second opinion, if it's about a cooking process, so then as long as it remains, so then you're continuing your cooking process. So the Mishnah Berurah is going to say this, but I'll just first say it outside. Perhaps one could have said as follows. If it's all about a cooking process, so maybe at the end, who says it has to be an olive's worth? When does it have to be an olive's worth? At the beginning, when I start the cooking process, that's really when I'm initiating the whole institution of an Erev Tav Shilin by saying, this is my beginning. I'm saying, this is the beginning of the process. So that whatever I do on Friday is the end. So when does it have to be an olive's worth? At the beginning, because that's really when I'm performing that Erev Tav Shilin. In the end, for it to be viewed as a continuation of the process, I could have said that it doesn't have to be an olive's worth at the end. I could have said, as long as I even have less than an olive's worth, I have a very small amount. Maybe with that small amount, I could still say that I'm continuing the process. Who says that I have to have an olive's worth at the end? The main focus is what I do on Wednesday. On Wednesday, I'm beginning the cooking process. Who cares what happens on Friday? Why does it have to exist? Why does an olive's worth have to exist on Friday? And so that's why the Mishnah Berurah is going to say, no, comes the Gemara and tells us that no, in order to view it as a continuation of Wednesday, I still need to have an olive's worth come Friday morning. I still need to have some significant amount to exist Friday morning in order for me to view it as one long cooking process. I still not need that to exist. So we have one line in the Gemara with two different interpretations of what's being added in this one line. The one line in the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, if I have a huge chicken and it slowly gets lost, I still need to have an olive's worth by come Friday. Come Friday, I still need to have an olive's worth in order for me to cook Friday afternoon. The question is, why would I think otherwise? What's the Gemara coming to add? Why would I think otherwise? So there are two potential answers to that question. One that works with the first approach that we took, and one that works with the second approach that we took. According to the first approach that we took, that it's all to act as a reminder, so then the Gemara is telling us that maybe you would have thought that it's not acting as a reminder because once it diminishes, so therefore, this is not the same item that I declared. I declared item X, which is a big platter. Come Friday morning, I have a different platter. I have something which is a lot smaller. So I could have said that it's not going to work because it's no longer the same item. It's not acting as a reminder. I could have made such a statement. Comes the Gemara and tells us that no, as long as you have an olive's worth, so then I could still view it as a reminder.
Are we also saying that if you start with two eggs and you make a declaration on one of them, a kezayis worth, actually you make a declaration on just a kezayis worth and you lose one of them between then and Friday, you're still okay?
Well, which one did you make the declaration on?
Well, let's say you just made it a kezayis amount of egg. You didn't actually make it on a specific egg.
It's a bigger question.
You diminish the quantity just like with a chicken. Yeah. Whereas if you had three eggs and two of them disappear, or one of them disappears, you're still left with something. You have a kezayis worth at the end. So by that logic,
it's a very big. You're asking a question that is a huge topic. in the Gemara. So I don't want to get into that. But to get out of it,
I'm just trying to
I would tell you, just as a suggestion for everybody, when you declare it, make sure exactly what you're declaring it on.
Yeah.
Okay?
The practical problem that you run into, Ben, is you don't know which egg you've lost.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, but and if I made the declaration on one egg, I agree with you. But if I just make it on an amount, not to say that it's any particular egg.
I happen to think that would work. I'm trying to go through it now, but I happen to think that would still be
that
fine.
Be mush it in the salad.
Because we retroactively, I think retroactively, I'm not positive about this, but I think retroactively, it's a big topic. Retroactively, we would say that the egg that still exists is the one that you declared it on.
Sure.
But you shouldn't do that. You know, you don't want to play games.
No, because but I'm just saying, life happens. If something comes along and consumes your egg, or you lose it,
you should declare the egg and just put it aside.
Okay.
That's what you should do.
Keep your declarations clear.
Yeah.
Sign on it.
Mark it up with one of those pens, you know?
You can write something on there. That's why we use an egg, so you can write something on the shell.
If you write on it, so then you're going to have trouble cracking it later.
E.T.
Shabbos.
E.T.
Okay, it's true.
If you do something to it in such a way where you won't be able to eat it.
Okay, put it in your special box. Everyone has their special. Put it in your special box. Put it on the top shelf.
If you have one egg and you lose it, you're hooked. But if you have two eggs and you lose one of them, you could be okay.
I think so. I'm not saying that as a definitive answer.
Make your Erev Tov Shalom on both eggs.
Yeah.
That's also fine. You could do that. Yeah, as long as. Make the Erev Tov Shalom on 1,000 eggs if you want.
Yeah.
No, but you gave an opinion that if you start off with a large Erev Tefillin and it's significantly diminished, it might not work anymore.
No, the Gemara says it does work. I'm saying, why is the Gemara telling us this? It should be obvious that it works.
That's it.
And so we had two approaches.
Okay.
One approach is to why would you think that it doesn't work? Because maybe it's no longer a reminder. According to the opinion that says that the purpose of the Erev Tefillin is just a reminder, maybe it's no longer a reminder. Because since it diminishes in size, so therefore it's a different item than the one that I started off with, maybe it's no longer a reminder. According to the second opinion, there's a totally different understanding of the Gemara. What's the Gemara coming to tell us? According to the second opinion, the purpose of the Erev Tov Shilin is that it's a cooking process. I'm continuing the cooking process from Wednesday to Friday. I could have said, according to this opinion, that once I start the cooking process with a large amount, it could diminish even to less than an olive's worth. Even if I have less than an olive's worth come Friday, maybe that should also work. Because it's still viewed as long as I have a minimal amount, even less than an olive's worth, I could still connect it back to my Wednesday. Comes the Gemara and says, no, that's not allowed. You still need to have that olive's worth. In order for it to be viewed as something which is significant, in the end of the day, I need to have that olive's worth to exist. So we see we have one line in the Gemara. That one line of the Gemara says that if you made a large amount and it diminishes to has to be at least a kazayis, an olive's worth. Two different approaches, two totally different approaches as to how to view what's the Gemara coming to add. What are we adding by this one line? Either we say that it's coming to add that this is still remains to be a reminder, even though it went down in size, it's still acting as a reminder, or it's coming to add that you still need to have an olive's worth at the end of the day. Even if it's just viewed as a cooking process, according to that second opinion, it's viewed as a cooking process, one long preparation for Shabbos, I still need to have on Friday an olive's worth in order to view this as one long preparation from Wednesday into Shabbos. So that's all. So just to conclude, we had these two different opinions as to what the purpose of the Erev Tov Shilin is. Is it there to act as a reminder, or is it really a little bit more than that? It's to act as a preparation coming from Wednesday through Friday, that I'm just finishing off the process on Friday. And through those two different opinions, we analyzed various Gemaras here, one line at a time, in terms of how each opinion would analyze each line in the Gemara, whether it works for me to do it for somebody else. Why would it work for me to do this for somebody else? How much do I have to have? Do I have to have one olive's worth? If I do it for five different people, do I have to have one olive's worth and that would suffice? Or do I have to have five different ones for each person that I'm doing it for? Maybe that would depend on whether it's viewed as a cooking process. If it's viewed as a cooking process, maybe I would need to have five different amounts, five different olive's worths for each person because it's a separate cooking process for each of them. The Gemara concludes that no, one olive's worth would suffice for everybody. And then the second bar that we looked at was about losing it on Friday. What happens if you lose it on Friday? And so the Gemara says that you can't lose it. If you lose it before Friday, you're not allowed to cook on Friday because in the end of the day, it's acting as a reminder. If it's acting as a reminder, it has to exist at the time that you're cooking it. Even according to the other opinion that it's about a about one long process, it's still acting as a reminder. I'm going to just finish in 1 second. And then we dealt with what happens if it if you cooked a large amount on Wednesday, set it aside, and it goes down to an olive's worth. And so we explained, based on the two opinions, how they would approach that one line in the Gemara. Yeah.
If the entire community was relying on one declaration, and the person that made it lost the quantity, the entire amount, then wouldn't it be that nobody could cook?
Yeah, then the community would case, find a new rabbi.
It's really important that everyone makes a declaration there.
Yeah.
For that reason alone.
Yeah, everyone should make a declaration, yeah.
My last question is, so...
Doesn't have to be your last question.
Wednesday, you boil the egg.
Yeah.
You only have to hang on to that egg until you started your cooking.
Not started, completed.
Until you completed your cooking on Friday for Shabbos.
Ideally, you should eat it on Shabbos. Ideally, you should eat it on Shabbos because it's viewed as for Shabbos. Ideally, you should eat it on Shabbos.
But the big problem only arises if you've lost it before you complete your cooking on Friday.
Exactly.
So as long as you've got to that point, whether you actually eat it or not on Shabbos.
Yeah, that's definitely a lot less significant. Uh-huh. For sure.
And then you should actually have it on Shabbos, you should have.
Ideally, you should have it on Shabbos, and I think the idea behind that to have it on Shabbos is because the way we passkin is that it's viewed as a part of my preparation for Shabbos. So then I should at least have it on Shabbos. I prepared it for Shabbos. I should have it on Shabbos.
So the ideal world, you'd eat it on Friday night with party of Friday night supper.
An ideal world. If you don't do it, it's not the biggest deal. But ideally, that's what you should do. Okay.
Right.
Yes.
Shabbos.
What?
To use it at Shabbos Shabbos.
Is that the... What's the reason behind that? Oh yeah, fine. There's a separate, but that you could use Friday night also. You could also use it. Yeah, you had a question.
So it sounds like the halacha that you can't cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos is a fence around the law. It's not really. It's to protect you from making the mistake.
For Yom Tov to the weekday.
That you could cook on Yom Tov for the weekday.
Correct. That's the way we pass them.
But we sort of had this opportunity to jump over that fence. Using this mechanism called Eruv Tavshilin.
Because of the
rationale that we've started the process.
Or it's just acting as a reminder that this is different.
Or it's acting as a reminder, or as I think we're getting to, both. It's sort of some kind of a...
Well, the second... I think, according to the second opinion, that it's a cooking process, I think it would be both. It would be that we're starting the preparation Wednesday for Friday. And that itself is acting as a reminder... That this is something which this situation is different.
So I'm just curious whether or not there's any sort of precedent for this kind of thing.
Where we create a fence and have some way to get around it?
Yeah.
Eruv Chatzera.
Eruv Chatzera would be an example.
What is that?
The Eruv Ramzi.
Yeah.
It allows you to carry. You're not allowed to carry
outside. What
did
you call it? Eruv?
No, but then not carrying is not a fence. I mean, it's a malacha.
No, it is a fence. The actual case of an Erev that's in the Gemara, that's not our Erev, is a fence. It's it doesn't allow you to carry in certain areas.
No, that's not what I meant. I meant that it's a malacha to carry.
No, I'm saying the case that they have is a case where you're not allowed to carry. Because you might, in a certain area, because you might then walk into a public domain. But that itself is not a public domain. So they instituted this Erev to allow you to carry.
But that is our question.
So our Erev only works in a place where it's a rabbinic.
Yes.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, you're right.
If it was,
but
it was biblical.
You're right, in our case. But the case that I'm dealing with, you're right. But it's a good point. This whole institution is really a fence, and it's a way to get out of it.
And sort of a related question is, how did it come about that starting the process would be sort of a sufficient rationale to get around?
How did it come about?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure of the logic.
Ultimately, it's a reminder. Ultimately, it's acting as a reminder. So I think, you have to keep that in mind. Ultimately, it's acting as a reminder that this is different. The question is, why do they do it in this way?
Yeah.
So they wanted to show that, really, you're not allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, because we're afraid that you're going to cook from Yom Tov to the weekday.
Yeah.
So they said, you're really not allowed to. When are you not allowed to? You're not allowed to start it. So we said, but you're allowed to finish a process. You're just not allowed to start a process. Okay. So as long as we have some sort of change as to what's going on here, there's a difference going on here in terms of your cooking, your mentality in terms of cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbos is such that you're really not allowed to do it. I'm only allowed to do it if I am finishing the process.
Yeah.
So then I'll realize that really something's different here. And then when in a regular case where it's Yom Tov to weekday, I'll understand that I'm not allowed to do it. I think that's the basic rationale.
And another question is okay, so that has a certain kind of internal consistency. So why can't we use an Erev Tashilin then to cook on one Yom Tov day for the next?
You don't need to.
Yeah, you do.
Well, you can't cook from Thursday to Friday.
Because that was never permitted. To cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos is biblically permitted.
Right.
Yeah. The rabbi said, wait a minute, then you're gonna end up cooking from Yom Tov to the weekday. So
yes.
At the same